This is GabNet, the Great American Broadcast Network. Talk radio like you've never heard it before.
Week of Albert's Public House on GabNet, but a very short week for me. I will only be here Monday and Tuesday. Rob Alfano in on the Public House on Wednesday and Thursday. Friday is a holiday, so there'll be plenty more Rob Alfano with the Rob Alfano's GabNet Rewind on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and I think some extra special treats there as well. Just tune in. You'll find out what they are. It's the Public House, the pub panel, which is our version of the citizen panel, is open right now. Rin has already clawed and scratched her way in as the bouncer of the pub panel. I don't know who else will be joining us because everybody's either going to be going away or has surgeries or some kind of thing. But in either case, we'll hold it together as best we can. It's the Great American Broadcast app that'll get you GabNet on an Android and a Windows device. So look in the stores for that. And if you need to email me, you can email me at radioalbert@gmail.com. The schedule as it stands now on GabNet, Albert's Public House, 9 p.m. Eastern, weeknights. Followed by the Alex Bennett Ramble, 10 p.m. weeknights, Eastern. Revelstoke Jim's Canadian content every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at midnight Eastern Time, which means Revelstoke Jim is on tonight. And Getting Geeky with Miranda Janelle every Tuesday and Thursday at midnight Eastern right here. And as I mentioned before, Rob Alfano provides all the great broadcast excitement for the weekends right here on Rob Alfano's GabNet Rewind. And I thank Rob for filling in on Friday, as I was not here on Friday, and again for the coming several days that he's going to be filling in. He'll be here, as I said, Wednesday and Thursday, and everybody is out on Friday and Monday, I believe. Maybe not everybody. I think Revelstoke Jim's here on Friday. I'm not sure about. But go to GabNet.net. GabNet.net. You'll get all the information on what's happening on GabNet. I can't answer it as well as GabNet.net can. Hello to Charlie, who joins us from Texas. How are you, Charlie?
Hi. Doing great.
Good, good. You sound good. I saw a little cartoon of you somewhere. Where did you get that from? Was that on Facebook or somewhere, I see?
Oh, yeah, that Jim did that.
Oh, that's what I thought. It looked like the style of Revelstoke Jim. That's what I thought. I didn't know that he had done one of you, and it looks terrific. I like it a lot.
It does. It's fantastic.
Very nice. Very nice. I'm glad to have seen that, and congratulations to Revelstoke Jim on great artwork as always. So Charlie is here on the Citizen Panel. Ren is here on the Citizen Panel. The pub panel for tonight on Albert's Public House. And if you'd like to join, you can get on Skype. Type in GabNet Live. GabNet Live, one word. On Skype, and you will join us. That is our contact name on Skype. But the pub panel is two people strong. That's really all we need. I don't think we need any more crazy people on the pub panel. But the three of us, that's all it takes. I don't know where to begin. I really don't. Earthquake in Napa. I mean, first of all, nobody cares about weather-related or earthquake or tornadoes or stuff like that unless it's near them. This one's not near me. I know it's not near Charlie, not near Rin. So
no, but I used to live in San Francisco, so I do care.
Yeah, okay, so you care.
I know people who live there.
Well, I do too. But frankly, it happens all the time. That's the other thing. It's California. You should expect it. 200 people were treated for injuries, and you know, as I say every time this happens, this is the precursor to the massive, massive one that's going to take California off the map for us. I'm not sure if it's going to happen in the next week or the next month. But the good thing is an early warning system for earthquakes, still in development, showed some great results in yesterday's earthquake. It gave scientists at UC Berkeley an advance warning of about 10 seconds. Really, really, that means nothing to me. You can give somebody
just enough time to say, "Was that the alarm?"
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really make much sense to me. I have to say that I think that anybody who gives me a 10-second head start on flatulence hasn't given me enough time. So, so for an earthquake, I really don't think it's that big a deal. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. But when the system goes online across the state, it's expected that some people could receive an early warning alert nearly a full minute before the earthquake actually hits. That might help me for flatulence, but
yeah, at least you can get in the doorway.
Yeah, again, I don't know about an earthquake. I don't know if that's going to be good for an earthquake. This is some good news for the people that like marijuana. Medical marijuana may be saving lives in a strange way. New study shows that deaths by prescription drugs are down significantly in states that have legalized pot. I guess it's legalized for recreational or medical use. Researchers say medical marijuana is cutting down on accidental overdoses. Right now, 23 states and the District of Columbia permit some form of medical marijuana. Why do we still have the District of Columbia as some kind of Netherland? Can we give them statehood or attach them to Virginia or Maryland or something? I never understood that when I was a kid, and I'm over 50 and I still don't know. What is the District of Columbia? It has nothing to do with Columbia, first of all. And is it a district? It's where the capital is, and it's not even a state in the United States. I don't get it. Make it a state. Do something to it.
When the Constitution was written, it didn't even exist.
What, D.C.?
Right. It wasn't until like Madison's term or something. Not Madison. Jefferson's term, and until we finally have Washington D.C. as the capital.
No, I don't. I plead complete ignorance to knowing the history of D.C. Why there's a district. Why it's named I guess after Columbus, but not even District of Columbus. It's District of Columbia, which is one of our partners in drugs. But let's give it statehood already. Call it. What would you call it? What? Columbia? The state of Columbia? I don't know. I don't get the whole District of Columbia thing. Doesn't make any sense to me.
It's like they have no representation in Congress either, because their only member doesn't get the vote.
Yeah, isn't that ironic? Isn't that ironic? You know, I was thinking about Congress the other day when I was watching something, either West Wing or House of Cards or something, and I know that the fine people who represent us are on vacation right now, probably for another 3 months, and they have been for 3 months previous to today, something like that. But I don't understand if they're always pushing technology. And I saw this the other day. They were calling people in to give their vote into the House of Representatives, I believe is where it was, in the Capitol building. And I thought, why do we need these people to come in? Why, if there's not enough bodies in place, can they not vote on shit? The most important thing that they do is vote on stuff. And why can't there be an app for them to vote? If it's so secure, if they always push new legislation for new technologies, let them be the first. Let them be the start. You know what? They can take as many vacations as they like. Give them an app so they can vote on shit. And it'll be a nice, easy way for us to get the information immediately when they vote yay or nay. So that's an addition to me saying, let's get voting for all our representatives and elected officials. Let's get that online. I don't want to have to go to the public school anymore or wherever the hell you have to go. There's no reason for that. There's no reason to walk anywhere. Anybody who's got access to a computer, which is the majority of us at this point, and if you don't, you probably know somebody who does. Let's get voting online. I just don't understand. If Obama talks about we want to be ahead of the game, we want to make sure computers are in all the schools. Well, let's get the app to the House of Representatives, to the Senate, so they can vote whenever the hell a vote is needed. And let's get voting so we can get elected officials elected on a computer. We all do our banking on computers now. We all do proxy votes for shares of stock on computers. Enough of this stuff where I have to walk in the rain or the cold or whatever it is to my elementary school. And then they accost me with cookies and cupcakes that I have to buy to raise money for God knows what, because the school doesn't have enough money. Enough of that. Let's stop that.
Waiting online for 3 hours to vote either.
Yeah, well, luckily I don't have to do that. I've never had that problem. But I'll tell you what, if I did, I would not vote. It's just as simple as that. I will not wait online.
That's their whole point. That's why they're doing that, so people won't vote.
Well, that's why we got to get voting online. Get it online.
Yep.
That's the way to do it. Because I wouldn't. There's no way. I don't care. I let the country go to shit. I don't care. I would not stand online for 3 hours to vote. Are you kidding me? It just wouldn't happen. Sorry. And I voted in every election that I could since I was able to vote at the age of 18, I think. Is it 18 still?
Yes, it's 18.
That's what I thought, yeah. You can't do drugs, and you can't drink alcohol, and you can't... oh, no, you can kill for your country at 18.
Yeah, you can still kill for your country at 18, yeah.
Just checking. I'm starting to forget things. So we'll get to killing for your country in a second. Anything you guys want to bring up? Weekend stuff? Anything? No?
I have an Ebola update.
An Ebola update. Well, let's what the hell? Let's get to the Ebola update. Hold on, let me get this going.
Ebola. Ebola. Don't touch your friend. Don't touch him. No, it is something dangerous. Ebola. Ebola. Don't touch your friend. No, it is something dangerous. Ebola.
Oh, don't touch your friend. Ebola's in town.
It loses something without David.
David certainly is the jingle impresario. I'll get it right.
Sure.
But we miss David. Is he off to Europe now? Has he left? Has he left the country?
The 30th, I think he's leaving. Oh, I don't know why he's not here tonight.
No, he's probably wasted. Like he
usually shares that with us.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't need it. I don't need it tonight. I've got a full head of steam from what's going on in the country. And I start with the Ebola. Let's hear what's going on with Ebola.
All right. This was on the 23rd, and there hasn't been any updates since then.
Okay.
There's 2,615 cases.
Beautiful.
Up 142 from the 21st, so 2 days.
Wow.
And 1,427 deaths, which is 77 more.
Yeah.
In 2 days.
MERS, nobody hears about MERS anymore, do they?
No.
What is there, maybe 300 deaths this year, MERS, maybe? If that many? I don't know.
I don't even know. I can't remember. We had a tally, but I don't remember. Yeah.
I know chikungunya was about 35, something like that, and the flesh-eating disease had about 10. So, but Ebola is pulling up front. Anything else? Any other good stuff on Ebola?
Well, they're pretty sure that people are hiding their families.
Really? Don't touch your friend. Yeah, I bet they are.
Yeah. So they, and you mentioned it. I think it was last week that. The World Health Organization thinks that the numbers are much, much higher.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the remote villages, they just can't keep track.
Well, I have a little information here. The Democratic Republic of Congo declared an Ebola outbreak in its northern Equator province on Sunday after 2 out of 8 cases tested came back positive for the deadly virus. So, who knows? A mysterious disease has killed dozens of people in Equator in recent weeks, but the World Health Organization has said on Thursday it was not Ebola. Although this new thing says, yes, 2 of them were Ebola. So it is now in the Republic of Congo in the northern Equator province. So that's another added bonus for West Africa.
Yep. And there's an English person that has been moved from Africa to England.
Oh, really?
But I couldn't find any other information. I couldn't find a name or where in England.
That's just fine.
They were going to move her.
That's fine. As long as it's not American, who cares, right? Who the hell cares? If it's a Spanish guy, it's a Spanish. We don't even care if it's a Spanish priest. Oh, it's a Spanish guy. Who cares? American, that's a different story. English guy, don't care. A German guy got it, send him back to Germany. We don't care about them. But the Americans.
Americans. One of the people that were given the ZMapp drug that was supposed to get rid of the Ebola has died from the Ebola.
Oh, really? Who? And which is an American?
Didn't say.
Oh.
It said, I think it was a health worker.
So this drug that supposedly helped people did not work for this person.
It's not 100%.
Not 100%. I bet it wasn't an American. It probably
didn't go through trials or anything, so
it doesn't matter.
I'm not surprised.
The two people we brought back and put them in the super isolation here in Georgia, they made it, didn't they?
Yes, they
That's
did.
Right. They got plenty of stuff. Yeah. Whatever they needed, they got. We don't care about the English, the Germans, the French, the Spanish. Who cares about them? As long as we get the Americans back and fix them up, that's okay. That's what it's all about. Anything else on Ebola?
No, I think I've remembered everything I saw today. Now.
Oh, okay. All right. The other big thing that I keep seeing about, and I'm not even going to talk about Michael Brown today. The Ferguson situation, because Al Sharpton is all over this today, and I cannot deal with Al Sharpton and what ifs. You know, one of the things he said was he should have been going to college. Yeah, everything should have been. That isn't. We know that. That's common sense. So I don't even want to get in. When stuff happens, when something actually happens with these Ferguson people, the people who are responsible for shooting Michael Brown and the people who are responsible for the nasty looting and all this kind of thing, then I'll talk about it. But if it's just to say Al Sharpton's name and the Reverend Jesse Jackson over and over, I have no interest in doing that. Sorry. And you can call me a racist if you want, but it springs from nothing more than I can't stand these blabbermouths anymore. It has nothing to do with racism. And there's plenty of... there's really no Asian blabbermouths, are there?
Nope.
The Asians, they just keep to themselves. They don't get involved like that. But I know the Hispanics do, because some of the Hispanic representatives here in New York, they blah, 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 blah. They jump into the fray once in a while. But you never see the Asians do that. Why is that? I mean, they're as much a minority to some as any other minority would be, I guess. Except the fact that they're winning the economical war right now with China doing as well as they're doing, and I guess Japan's not doing that well now, are they? Unfortunately, after the earthquake in Fukushima.
So. Yeah, Japan's been pretty quiet since then.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's ISIS then. Let's get on to ISIS, because there's a lot of stuff going on with ISIS, and I have some audio here. I want to play this again. This is the audio of the guy that killed what's our guy's name?
Foley, right.
James Foley. American journalist James Foley. This is the audio that was that accompanied the video when he was kneeling just before he was beheaded. Take a listen to this and just form some opinions.
This is James Wright Foley, an American citizen of your country. As a government, you have been at the forefront of the aggression towards the Islamic State. You have plotted against us and gone far out of your way to find reasons to interfere in our affairs. Today, your military air force is attacking us daily in Iraq. Your strikes have caused casualties amongst Muslims. You are no longer fighting an insurgency. We are an Islamic army and a state that has been accepted by a large number of Muslims worldwide. So effectively, any aggression towards the Islamic State is an aggression towards Muslims from all walks of life who have accepted the Islamic Caliphate as their leadership. So any attempt by you, Obama, to deny the Muslims their rights of living in safety under the Islamic Caliphate will result in the bloodshed of your people.
So essentially what this gentleman said, well, I don't want to call him a gentleman. Essentially what this guy said was any aggression against us will be met with equal, perhaps even more deadly aggression than the aggression towards us. And a lot of people said, well, you know, that's just, how can anybody say something like that? That's disgusting. That's terrible to make a blanket statement like that. And I reminded people of the situation when we went into Afghanistan, when then President George W. Bush said, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. But I have an even better one now. Because this was a statement that was made on Friday by a guy by the name of Ben Rhodes. He is the assistant something in the State Department, and he held a press conference on Friday. See if this sounds familiar at all to you, Ben Rhodes.
We are going to do what is necessary to protect Americans, and so if we see plotting against Americans, we see a threat to the United States emanating from anywhere, we stand ready to take action against that threat. We've made very clear time and again that if you come after Americans, we're going to come after you.
Boom.
Wherever you are. And that's what's going to guide our planning in the days to come. Well, first of all, our hearts go out to Mr. Foley and the entire Foley family. I cannot imagine how it must feel to lose a loved one and to lose a loved one in such a horrible way. And I certainly understand that any family would want to make sure that we are moving heaven and earth to find and bring home American hostages. I can assure you that we have done everything that we can possibly do to try to bring home our hostages. But as a matter of policy, we do not provide ransom or any funding for terrorist organizations. We feel very strongly that it is not the right policy for governments to support the payment of ransom to terrorist organizations. In the long run, what that does is it provides additional funding to these terrorist organizations, which allows them to expand their operations. It incentivizes the kidnapping of foreigners.
Yeah, and that's a bunch of bullshit too, because the American government has given payment to different organizations through which some of it is funneled to these organizations for the release of other people, and we had one recently, didn't we? Bergdahl? Was he part of one of these things? I don't remember.
Probably
One of these guys. But I love this one.
A threat to the United States emanating from anywhere. We stand ready to take action against that threat.
Mm-hmm. So let me be clear on this, if I'm right. The guy who beheaded the American, and yes, it's a gruesome way to kill somebody, but you're killing an American if you just shot him in the head or were a sniper and you killed an American. Then it's what? Warfare? As opposed to being a disgusting, gruesome thing. So the American was in his country. He's fighting a civil war. The American was in his country. The Americans are going over to his country to bomb and help one faction in the civil war. So it would be wrong for him to kill somebody who's supporting the other side, and I'm not taking a side here. I'm just trying to figure out the stance here. And yet, if somebody were to come to America to do something like that, that would be wrong. I don't understand it. I don't understand how the State Department can say something like that. Can even justify making a statement like that. Especially since anybody you want can be called a terrorist, and in fact, we don't even do what the guy who beheaded Foley did, He found Foley, and he took him, and he killed him. What we do is we go into other places, we pull these people out who we think are bad, and we shove them in Guantanamo, and we do whatever the hell we want to them. And who knows how many of them so-called terrorists have been killed, enemies of the United States, so-called evildoers. Who knows? I couldn't tell you. But I think it just irks me that the government can say something like that, and you wouldn't have anybody come over here if we were fighting a civil war or if something happened here. Can you imagine anybody going to Missouri with the strife that's going on there and saying no, you can't do that, you're not allowed to do that, from some other country, or the UN is trying to stop that action? It would never happen. That would never happen. I don't know. Maybe I'm mixing apples and oranges, or apples and flowers. I don't know. What's your thought? Anything, Charlie?
That's a double standard.
Well, that's what I think. I don't like it. It stinks.
Well,
to me.
Yeah, it really is. It's hypocritical. Mm-hmm. We get to do it, but nobody else can do it.
Yeah, that's what I don't like. I think if you're going to let the people decide what they want to do in any country, then let the people decide. And civil war is part of that process, sad as it sounds. And it has been, I would assume, all of humanity. Civil war is what helps to decide what happens with the people. Sometimes it doesn't work out the way America likes it, but that's the way it goes. Well, let me tell you that the government says there's no evidence of an... Oh, by the way, Al-Qaeda? We don't talk about Al-Qaeda anymore. ISIS is now the new guys. Al-Qaeda is the terrorists are no longer Al-Qaeda. The terrorists are now ISIS. There's no evidence of an active ISIS plot on American soil at this time. White House spokesman Josh Earnest said ISIS is primarily interested in acquiring power and territory in the Middle East. Is that right? I heard the guy said he's going to come wherever he has to go and take care of the American threat if need be. Earnest said that President Obama is considering a range of strategies to better deal with the growing ISIS threat overseas. He recently ordered airstrikes against targets in Iraq that were ISIS-ruled. And we all know that ISIS beheaded James Foley last week. Welcoming, I'm a little confused. It's either Diana or Diane, and I forgot which one it is, Diane.
Oh, it's okay. I answered either, but I prefer okay. Diana.
Are you jumping in to talk about ISIS and the beheading people or?
I was listening, and I just thought it would be nice for you to have a crowd, raise a crowd.
Well,
I felt bad. It's like, poor Al, he's only got two people after all the weekend,
It's a Labor Day weekend, so everybody is preparing for that, and that's okay.
I forget, because I work all these things. I'm just getting ready for work, but, I did want to say, it just reminded me of what, they teach you in school how America is the world's policeman. Right. And it pretty much is true. I really just think that, we can just boss everybody around and,
Well, that's the world's bully. That's not the world's policeman.
How do we get into that? I don't know how we got into that, having that title, being the world's policeman. But I remember being taught that kind of in school,
I know, but I remember when George W. Bush was running the first time, he said that he does not want to be the world's policeman. And look what he did. He became the biggest policeman of all. So that's a strange thing. Yeah, I don't understand. Okay. If we're part of the United Nations, why the hell are we in there? Get the United Nations in there. We're not the only country. I mean, what did we have when we first went into Iraq? Or the second time, or the third time, I don't even know. But there was a coalition of countries, wasn't there? A coalition of countries that went in to figure out this problem. Now it seems we don't need the coalition. We just go in on our own. I don't understand. After the president says we don't have to do anything like this, we're not going to put boots on the ground. This is all bullshit. It's all bullshit. Stop it already. I'm getting sick and tired of the whole thing. Oh, by the way, it's apparently not working that well because ISIS militants are now in control of a major military air base in Syria. A human rights group says the Islamic extremist group seized the Tabqa. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Well, it doesn't matter, really. Seized the Tabqa air base on Sunday. Further evidence ISIS is taking over more control of Syria's northeastern region. CNN has reported that Syrian officials are ready to accept support from the U.S. and other nations to fight terrorists, but warn against any airstrikes in Syrian territory without permission. Oh, I like that part. And any other nations to fight the terrorists. Yeah, because a lot of other nations are lining up to fight the terrorists. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Meanwhile, our buddy we just heard, intelligence officials in the UK believe they know the identity of the man who murdered American journalist James Foley. They believe, listen to this, it's former rapper Abdel Majed Abdel Barry. Or as I like
Barry
to call him,
to his friends,
rapper AMAB, Abdel Majed Abdel Barry. His father, by the way, listen to this, is awaiting trial in New York City for allegedly helping to carry out the 1998 U.S. Embassy bombings in Kenya and Tanzania. Before flying to Syria to join the civil war in 2013, the 24-year-old jihadist went by the rap name El Jinny. El Jinny. L-J-I-N-N-Y. Look up and see if you can find any El Jinny tunes there. I didn't get a chance to do it. But I'd love to hear what he's rapping about. And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody already did a rap song with the audio that I've already played. It wouldn't surprise me if somebody put together a rap song with that. And if they haven't, you'll hear it, I'm sure, by the middle of the week. You'll hear the El Jinny big hip-hop hit coming up. Certainly on Gabnet. We'll see if we can put it together somehow. And then finally, the family of James Foley is revealing one of his last messages to his loved ones. According to the Free James Foley site on Facebook, a freed hostage memorized the letter because the written letters were confiscated by his captors. The letter said 18 hostages were kept in one cell, and they kept each other entertained by playing games from scraps in their cell and telling stories. It also said he hoped to be able to come to his sister's wedding. So I don't know that we needed to know that, but that's the story there. But everybody's on the lookout for El Jinny now. He's laying down some heavy raps right now there in northern Iraq, I believe, if you want to find him. Or Syria. Right. I don't know.
They're saying that he...
What is that? Go ahead, Diane. You're next, Rin.
Oh, okay. I'm see if I get this right. I don't know why this is echoing, but... they're saying he actually carried out the execution, you know.
Who, El Jinny?
Yeah,
they're saying that the guy that I played the audio of, he is the former rap star. Well, I didn't. It wasn't rap star. It was
rapper.
Right. But then
he was the wield of the knife. And
yes,
all that.
Yes. He was
what
a rapper.
The hell?
But you know what? Any inner city kid nowadays is a rapper. So you know to call him a rapper that. If he was a rap star, that would be a different thing. But El Jinny, he's the guy apparently they're looking for. El Jinny. I don't know. Never heard of him.
It cheapens it, I think, even more. It's like, oh, hey, why don't you come and do this? You know, I don't know. I guess I just thought that they had an official executioner that...
Yeah.
I don't know. At least it should have been a professional executioner.
Well, maybe that's why they're so efficient. Anybody can carry it out. Hey, El Jinny, come on. We need you. Get over here.
Oh, my God. The whole thing is just so bizarre.
We need you with your laying down the rap skills, and bring your little knife too, because we're going to need you for that as well. But I don't know how long it's going to be if they know who this guy is and they can track him down either in northern Iraq or Syria or wherever the ISIS guys are supposed to be. But if the American government is having problems finding El Jinny, I can tell you, try Pakistan. That seems to be a popular place for the guys that are hiding from the United States to go. So try Pakistan. Ooh. And look in a mansion in Pakistan. Usually that's a good place to look. They all have mansions in Pakistan, apparently. So that's all the ISIS fun that I have tonight. Anybody else have anything good on ISIS? No.
Nope.
No comments on the American retort on our continued bombing campaign. No.
It sounds like he's just. Hey, he can't say that to us. Hey, let's say it to him.
It may
it's
be.
It's ridiculous.
It may be. I don't even know who these guys are. I don't know why there's a different guy every time I turn a TV on. Somebody else is talking for the United States. I don't
yeah,
understand.
Yeah, and Ben Rhodes is the current Deputy National Security
right.
Advisor mm-hmm. for Strategic Communications.
Yeah, whatever that means.
Yeah.
He's the deputy, though. He's not the guy. He's the number two guy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's the deputy.
Yeah. All right.
Well, think Barney Fife.
Yeah, Barney Fife, right. The Barney Fife of the White House. That's the guy.
There you go.
All right. Well, turning to a survey. Everybody loves a survey. Oh, this is a poll. Sorry, this is a poll. The difference being I don't know really what. But this is a new Pew Research poll. It shows that 36% of Americans think police departments turn a blind eye towards misconduct. I'm surprised it's so low, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. That's just who admits it.
Yeah, I guess. That figure goes down to 27% among white people, but up to 70% among blacks. Black people also scored police poorly when it came to treating people of different races and ethnicities equally, using the right amount of force and respecting people's privacy. I don't think that's a huge poll that anybody's going to be shocked by, but I don't know. I have to say I'm on the fence about breaking polls like this down. You know, you're going to isolate different groups. The issue is misconduct of the police. Until we stop isolating and segregating, we're going to have problems. I think we just have to say the police are fucking us. That's all. You know, it doesn't matter.
Oh, that's too kind.
It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how much money you make or don't make. It doesn't matter what your sex is. If the police are not doing their job, or worse yet, are doing a bad job, that's what matters. That's the concern. That's the issue. And I think it cheapens it. And yes, I know there's racial problems in this country. I know that. But then what happens if you miss a racial group? Then they get pissed off. It just should be people. We're talking about people here. We're talking about people and the people that are charged in protecting us as people. Because if you're going to break it down, then you better break it down with what racial background the cops are, what sex the cops are that are doing this, and who did what. I mean, you can't put limits on one thing if you don't put limits on the other thing, I think.
Look, Charlie's doing an impression of Charlene.
No, he's not. He's reading.
No, okay. I had to channel Charlene for a while.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fine. Not a problem. Here's more interesting information. This goes under the heading of common sense stuff. That this even came out now, I can't believe. Doctors believe early class times are a big reason why teenagers don't get enough sleep. You know, you know what kids would say? Doi. Yeah. The American Academy of Pediatrics says delaying the start of the school day until 8:30 a.m. or later would effectively counteract what the doctors call an epidemic of insufficient and erratic sleep patterns among teenagers. The nation's biggest pediatric organization says pushing back school start times would help teens get the 8.5 to 9.5 nightly hours of sleep they need. The study is published in the journal Pediatrics today. And it's just common sense. Anybody that has teenagers in their household know that they're going to stay up a little later, that they don't get enough sleep, and on the weekends, they'll sleep till 12, 1, 2 in the afternoon. So that's all common sense stuff. Yeah, why are, if the school closes at, I don't know, let's say 3. I don't even know when school's closed now. They finish about 2 or 3 o'clock, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, then why don't they just push that back an hour and give them a later start? It'd probably help rush hour, too, I would think. Maybe I'm wrong about that, too. I've always believed staggered hours would be a great idea for this country, for all countries, yeah, and the economy. Now that we have computers and we can do things electronically, there's no need for everybody to come in at 9 and leave at 5. It's preposterous to me that still happens, and we still have rush hour at 9 o'clock at 8 o'clock every morning, or earlier, and we still have a commute home rush hour. It's ridiculous. I don't know why we still do that, but I'm not the head
tradition.
Of
tradition,
huh?
Tradition, I think.
That's a stupid reason to do that. You could be getting
totally
so much.
Agree.
You could be getting so much more out of your employees if they didn't have to come in and spend an extra hour traveling. If they were able to get through, I mean, I know I could get to Manhattan probably within an hour if I don't go during rush hour. During rush hour, insanity. Two plus hours. That's crazy. But why anybody would drive to Manhattan? I don't know. Go ahead, Rin.
I think the 9 to 5 thing, I believe that was part of the unions and what they brought in to be, like the 5-day work week, the 8-hour work day, that sort of thing.
Yeah, didn't it used to be 7 till 7 because you had a 12-hour work day?
5 days?
Got involved.
Oh, wow. I don't know about that. I have no idea.
Most nurses work that still.
7 to 7?
Yeah, that's very popular. Oh, 7 to 7,
but they
12-hour shifts.
But do they work?
You get a 3-day weekend, right?
Well, sort of. I mean, yeah, it's supposed to be it's like a three-day week usually, and then but people work extra, and you know, you end up staying anyways.
Right. Well,
so
that's
it never really works out that way.
But to me, that's a better idea. That's a staggered. That's a different time to go. It's a staggered time. If different companies did that. Say 7 to 7 for some of their employees, or drag some people on Saturdays and drag some people on Sundays, whatever it takes. But stagger it. But people would be much happier, I think. I would work on it. I would work on a Saturday instead of struggling through the traffic on one day a week. That's just crazy. I never got that. I don't know. And I thought this 20 years ago easily. And I thought, well, that'll be changed by the time I'm 50. But it's not. It hasn't changed at all. But and then I thought, well, we won't have war by the time I'm 50 either. But we still have war.
Well, anyway, I work.
What's that, Diane?
I say that's one of the reasons. My schedule, I work mostly the weekends. And I work the night shift, which is even more, the least traffic. Although in the morning, it can be a little, going through Albany, it can be a little.
What time do you start?
11 o'clock, 11 p.m., 11 to 7. That's, traditionally with nursing, it's like 7 to 3, 3 to 11, 11 to 7. Which I'm thinking, you know, coincidentally, that's kind of what factory workers do, that same schedule.
Workers do.
Hotel workers?
You miss work.
Really?
Hotel workers.
Charlie, go ahead.
I was going to say, but you miss, that sounds like great hours because you miss rush hour.
Yeah, pretty much. Yes, like sometimes I catch some of it if I'm leaving like 7:30 or so. I think so state workers must go in earlier because when I'm driving through Albany about 7:30, in the morning towards Albany. It's really... It can be pretty gruesome.
I think
gruesome.
They work 8 to 4.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it must be.
What kind of nursing do you do, Diane?
Oh, I do. I work in long-term care. It used to be known as nursing homes, but apparently, you know, the euphemism now, everybody says long-term care. It's kind of interesting, yeah. And also rehab, but that's the big moneymaker. They have long-term care, then there's always a rehab unit, which I've been working on a lot lately. It's a lot harder. People come in after surgeries for, you know, it's like a sometimes 6 weeks to 3 months to sometimes they don't leave at all. They just stay.
Wow.
But yeah, that's where they make their money off. I think Medicare pays for a lot of the rehab. So they make more money that way.
And these are older people?
Pretty much. Yeah.
And it's not, so it's not called a nursing home anymore. It's called long-term care.
It's like, that's a dirty word anymore. All these things that you know, the signs that they used to say such and such nursing home. But now it's all long-term care and rehab center.
Uh-huh. Okay.
No, Nana, we're not abandoning you.
Yeah.
Look, long-term care, you're going to be here for a long time.
Yeah, that's what
we're not dropping you here to die.
That's what I'm happy you told me about, because I had no idea, and I know they're going to stick me in one of those one of these days, and now I know what it is. Oh, long-term care. I got you. But I'm starting to lose it already. I've got the signs of the Alzheimer's already. I said this to my wife the other day. There are times, and she said she did notice it's happening more often when I search for the last word in a sentence, and I cannot remember it's simple things. I cannot remember what the word is called, what the thing is called, at the end of a sentence that I'm talking about, whatever that thing is.
The end of a sentence. That's interesting. Yeah. For me, I've noticed other people, Alex, this happens to them a lot, is names. It's hard. And they say that it's hard to remember names because they're an abstract.
Uh-huh.
I can remember them better if I associate a name with an object. There's one of the new residents, her last name is Redwood, and so I think of trees.
Yeah, sure.
And so it's like, okay, and she's in room 11, so okay, it's like trees are like standing like sticks, like 11. I mean, that sounds crazy, but that helps me remember.
Well, that's good. I wish I had devices to help me remember, because I just can't sometimes. And I'll go on, I'll start a sentence, and I'll go on until the last word, and I don't say, I just have my mouth open,
just
trying to think of that word, and my wife looks at me and she says the word, and I say, that's exactly what I'm trying to think of. So I'll be in the long-term care facility in no time.
Not Alzheimer's, that's just normal aging.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. So how do I know when it's Alzheimer's?
As long as you don't think every animal is a cat, none of my family listens to this, so I guess I can say my aunt. I won't say her name, but every animal is a cat. I mean, they went on vacation in one of those horse and buggy rides, and she talked about the big cat, you know, that poor big cat having to pull this carriage, and you know, that's more of what Alzheimer's. So the memory loss, that's normal aging. So don't worry. Just try using that. Try associating names with something, you know, an object or something less abstract. It helps.
Yeah.
Well, make it into song lyrics.
Remember the name of the object.
What's that, Charlie?
So what happens if you can't remember the name of the object?
They say it doesn't work. It usually, as long as it's something, a solid thing, it definitely helps. I've noticed that myself, and I've seen research on it.
But you
pick the object.
It's not often an object that I don't know what it is. I'm very familiar with what it is. I just can't pull the word out. I just can't. You know, it's as if I were to say electric generator. I can't. Sometimes something is simple, and that's not a common word, but I know what it is.
So it's like you know what you want to say.
I know exactly what I want to say, but I can't pull the word out.
Oh, that's like aphasia. They call that aphasia.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what happens when people have strokes.
Yeah, okay. Well,
congratulations, Albert. You've had a stroke.
That could happen. My mother had a stroke. It's a nice couple of strokes, so. You know, it could be the clots are getting up to my brain already, and I'm starting to, we'll see.
Soften those arteries.
Yeah, maybe I'll get a brain MRI, a brain scan, find out whether any of it's dead. Probably is. I don't. It doesn't matter to me. You know, I know that it's not going to last forever, so I'm just going to enjoy it, whatever it is.
Yeah, because you'll have a stroke when you get the bill, though. You know, so.
Well, I just won't pay it. What are they going to do? What are I going to do if I don't pay it?
Repossess your brain.
Go ahead, take it. I don't need it. You know what you guys are missing tonight?
Oh, what's
the
that?
Emmys. The Emmys.
Oh, yeah, I saw a little blurb.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me see if I can channel David.
I don't care. I don't care. There's no doubt about it. I'll sing and I'll shout it. I don't care.
That's That's right.
It's been like 30 years
he
since
wasn't
I'm
here.
Watching
Chill. Yeah, I the Emmys. Come on, why would anybody care about the Emmys? It just doesn't mean a damn thing to me. I watch the TV, I watch the series, I watch the specials, I watch whatever it is occasionally, but an award show about shows? No.
I don't get it either.
It appeals to me as much as what's this other story I saw? Oh, Suge Knight was apparently shot six times somewhere in California. Well, I don't care about Suge Knight. Why is this news?
I don't know who he is. I mean, he's a rapper because they call him Suge.
He's part of the East West Coast rap wars, and apparently he's affiliated with some gang. Well, if he's affiliated with a gang, probably going to get shot at some point, I would think, especially if he's a big shot. Yeah, something like that. So that's not of any interest to me. And the other story that I saw, that I don't know why I have to hear about this every time this happens. Every single time this happens, the news makes a big stink about it. Another Superman comic, number one Action Comics, sold for massive money, $3+ million at auction today.
Was it three? I heard it was two.
No, I heard it was three. Wait, let me see. Hold on a minute.
That's a different one.
No, this is it. An original Superman comic is changing hands for a staggering amount of money, a rare copy of Action Comics number one, featuring the just-introduced Superman lifting an automobile on its cover, sold through an eBay auction last night for a whopping $3.2 million. Originally purchased for 10 cents. In West Virginia in 1938, the comic eventually found its way to the hands of collector Darren Adams. So Miranda's here to tell us why it's important that comics sell for $3.2 million.
Yeah.
Hello, Miranda. How are you? Miranda was here.
Miranda.
For a second. I don't know. What are those characters that you had that little picture? What is that? Ewoks?
Oh, okay.
I got it right.
Yeah, that's Wicket.
Oh, Wicket, right. And that was played by the diminutive British actor, right?
Warwick Davis.
Warwick Davis, yeah, right.
Actually, funny thing about that, Wicket's family's last name is Warwick. He's Wicket Warwick.
Is that because Warwick was the guy who was
I'm
in the...
I'm pretty sure. He was a kid when he did that role.
Oh,
but we're not talking Star Wars right now. We're talking
Superman.
Action Comics number one.
Yeah,
why this auction was so freaking amazing.
oh, I'm sorry. Did I laugh out loud in your face?
She's so excited about so much stuff. I wish I were like you.
And for those who don't know, Miranda Janelle hosts a show every Tuesday and Thursday right here on GabNet at midnight Eastern Time called Getting Geeky with Miranda Janelle. So she is the expert on everything geeky, specifically why anybody would pay $3.2 million for a comic book, of which I think there's only about 100 in existence, right?
This one in particular is nearly flawless. It's, you know, if I remember correctly, it's got a CGC rating of 9. The pages themselves are actual, you know, they're actually white. There's no bleed through, anything like this. I mean, this is almost a flawless copy of the first appearance of Superman. Yeah, it's a geek's dream.
If I had
that kind of money, I would buy it.
I'm trying to figure it out. And you know, I understand that things have their value to people who collect it, but it's a fucking comic book for $3.2 million? Are you kidding me?
It's also sealed, and you'll never actually end up opening it up and reading it because you would immediately lower the value of it. But
now,
still,
see,
it's an amazing copy of the first appearance of Superman.
That is where you are wrong, because should I become a millionaire, I will buy one of these Superman Action Comics number one. I will take it out of the plastic. I will pee on it, I will put it back, and then I will sell it on eBay and see how much I get for that. And I guarantee you somebody is going to pay millions for the pissed on Action Comics number one. I bet they will. Am I right?
I don't know about millions, but definitely thousands.
I'm sure it'll get up to a million. How many?
There's going to be a crossover between the fetish people and the comic book people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought about that. Maybe it'll go for more than 3.2 million.
Oh, Albert, here's what you do. You start up
Clips for sale.
Some kind of contest where some, you know, they can pay you to perform their particular fetish on it. And so you actually end up making money off the deal. Something like Quibids. You know, feed the money in first just to bid.
No, you know what I'm starting? I'm going to start this. It's a collector terrorists maybe I'll start this. I'll start when I have the resources, I'll start buying up these things like the cars and whatever, and I'll do something to it, not to destroy it completely, but to make it unappealing in some way. Because, you know, after I pee on the Action Comics number one, people can still read it. You can still turn the pages after it is dried out.
There will definitely be some yellowing of the pages.
No question about it. No question about it. And I bet it's still not the worst copy out there when you go for an auction of it. But see, that's what I want to do. Just to smile and say, yeah, okay, I want to see you buy it for $1 million now. Go ahead. I don't know. I just don't get it. And I'll do the same with the action figures, too. Exactly the same thing.
I mean, never to sell you anything I truly care about.
What's the most valuable action figure you think now? Ever. Like a really, really valuable action figure.
Action figure?
Yeah. Aren't they big? Action figures are big, right?
I'm sure they are. They're not my cup of tea, but I would probably think like one of the retro G.I. Joes, maybe.
Oh, really? Not even the Star Wars guys? G.I. Joe more?
Maybe some of the Migos, if they're like, you know, unopened and everything. Yeah. But no, I think maybe one of the larger G.I. Joe figures from the first run. Yeah. That's probably one of the most expensive action figures out there.
Well, I don't think I'd pee on a soldier, but I certainly would take a Boba Fett, a pristine Boba Fett that's never been opened. I'd pee on that and sell it back. Why not?
Oh, where's Patrick?
Oh, you could just say, Patrick's never calling your show again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's collector terrorism is what it is. If we use those words anymore, terrorism, I don't know. Well, I'm glad you tried to explain. I still don't get it. $3.2 million for a comic book of any kind. And by the way,
because geeks have money.
Yeah, but by the way, I wouldn't pay $3.2 million for a Gutenberg Bible either. So, you know,
think of it as an antique, I guess.
Maybe a Gutenberg Bible, maybe, because it's got its importance in the history of communication and the written word. So that not because it's a Bible, that I don't give a damn about, but because it is a Gutenberg printed piece, that's what I would care about.
I can understand how fine art gets that much money paid for, because at least you can enjoy the art. You can't even read the comic book.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, but guys, keep this in mind. This thing's over 75 years old, and it's in almost perfect condition.
Yeah, well, Alex is almost 75 years old. You know. So what?
And would you not pay more than $3 million for an Alex?
No, I wouldn't pay that much for Alex either. But I don't have the money.
Well, okay, let's face it. You need to knock a couple bucks off. The guy's not in perfect condition anymore. Okay. But still, he's still very, very valuable.
I don't know if he's been peed on either. I'm not sure. I think he's peed on someone.
Oh, with all of his sexual exploits, you bet he's
He's peed on someone. I don't think he's been peed on. Speaking of Alex Bennett, it's time for the Alex Bennett Ramble, which means it's time for the last word right here on Albert's Public House. So let's start with Diana. Last word.
Spontaneous.
Miranda, last word.
Golden shower.
Good one. Charlie, last word. Good follow-up.
Superman
gets the golden shower. And Rin, last word on Albert's Public House this evening.
Pee.
Okay. Well, thank you very much all for being on the Slim Down Citizen panel, the pub panel this evening. Alex Bennett's Ramble is next right here on Gabnet. And I thank you for enriching my life.
Okay. Fuckity bye.